In this year, we begin Torah Zayin in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 17, the left-hand side, the paragraph about a quarter of the way down the page, the beginning of the paragraph. Now, this chapter, it begins with the words Loshen Rabbeinu Zal, that these are Rabbeinu Zal's exact words, meaning that some of these shiurim, Rav Nosson Zal was not given Rabbeinu Zal's notes to copy down. What it was that he was present at the shiur, he listened to it, he wrote it over himself in his own words as best as he could, and he brought his notes to Rabbeinu Zal to have them checked, and Rabbeinu Zal would edit them for him, either on the spot, he would tell him what to correct, where to add, where to subtract, and the result was a shiur as it's presented here on Likutei Moran. However, there are some chapters where we're privileged to have Rabbeinu Zal's own words, the exact words that he had written down in his notes. He gave Rav Nosson Zal his notes to copy down. Now, you'll notice in most cases a difference in style a little bit, in that where it's Loshen Rabbeinu Zal, the words are a little tighter, more clipped, and sometimes require a little bit more elaboration. This chapter in particular that we're going to learn now, compared to the last chapter we had, or the last few chapters we had, I believe is easier, substantially easier. It discusses very practical topics, and it discusses just about all the basics of religion, of Yiddishkeit, are going to be discussed in this Torah that we're about to begin. Rabbeinu Zal bases this Torah on a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk is, V'ela ha-mishpotim asher tosim lefneihem. Right after Matan Torah, right after Parshas Yisroi, the next Parsha begins, these are the laws that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, should place before them. Who's the them? Omru Chazal, the Gemara says, Hushvu Isho Li'ish. That in this case in particular, we see that Hashem compares the women to the men. That Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to present the Torah to both of them, to the men and the women alike. That's what the Gemara says in Kiddushin and in Baba Kama. And another item that's mentioned about this posuk is Ve'isa b'mechilta. It's brought in a medrash. Yochel yihiyu ha-talmidim loimdim ve'inam evinim. I might think that when a rabbi teaches Torah, as long as he teaches it, that's enough. Whether the students understand or not is more their problem. Talmud Loimar Asher Tosim Lefnehem. This is why Hashem did not use the wording for Moshe Rabbeinu that these are the words Asher Tilmad Oisam, that these are the words that you should teach them. It says Asher Tosim Lefnehem. Place it in front of them. The Medrash says Orkom Lefnehem Kishulchan Oruch. Present it to them like a neatly laid out table. That's the way that you're supposed to give a shiur. A rabbi teaching Torah has to present things in order and in such a clear way where the Talmud sees it laid out in front of him like a table that's set, where the fork is where it belongs, the knife is where it belongs, the cup, the saw, each item is in position where it belongs. This is the introduction. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to begin a whole discussion in religion, and then afterwards he's going to come back and tie his whole discussion back into this beginning. Rabbeinu Zal says, Da, you should know, ki ikar hagolus einoi elo bishvil chisoroin emuna. Again, whenever Rabbeinu Zal uses this word ikar, ikar means that there could be several reasons, there could be many reasons why Bnei Yisrael are in golus. If you take a look through the Gemara, you'll find maybe 10, 15 reasons listed. The question is, which is the most critical of these reasons? Which is the most important? Whenever Rabbeinu Zal says the ikar, it means that although there are many, this is the most important one. That the ikar hagolus, the main reason for exile, is because of a chisorin in emuna, because Jews are deficient in emuna, they're weak and lacking in emuna. Kamoi shekosev, as the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Tovoi Toshuri Meroish Amono, that the Yidden will come to see Hashem. Or there's another pshat there in the Medrash which says Tavoi Tashuri, the Yidden will come to sing to Hashem Meroish Amona. The Tavoi refers to coming to Eretz Yisrael. Those Jews that are in Golos will be brought back, will return to Eretz Yisrael through a heightening of Emuna, through an increase in Emuna. Just as the Gemara says that Lechorva Yerushalayim ad sheposka mimenu anshe Amona, that the city of Yerushalayim wasn't destroyed until there were not any believers to be found, until there weren't any Baalei Emuna around. And we know that Yerushalayim is the centerpiece of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore the whole concept of Golos is a concept of chisorin and emuna. Weak, when the Jews are weak in emuna, that's when they're in Golos. That's number one. Now, emuna, what is that? Lemaisa, what is emuna? Emuna is something you think that's only in your mind or in your heart. Rabbi Nazal says, ve'emuna hu bechinas tefillah. Emuna, faith in Hashem, is synonymous with tefillah. Kemoi shekosuv, as the Pasuk says in Chumash, when the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu went to do battle against Amalek, the Pasuk says, Vayihi Yodov Emuna, his hands were raised in faith. He lifted up his hands. Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands. The wording in the Pasuk is, Vayihi Yodov Emuna, his hands were Emuna. V'targumoi, and the Targum says, Prison Bitzloi, his hands were outstretched in tefillah. So we see that the Targum translates the word emuna to mean tefillah. So far we've shown two things. We've shown that golos is due to a deficiency in emuna, and we've shown that emuna is synonymous with tefillah. Next, v'zeh bechinas nisim. This is also the concept of miracles. Lemalo mehateva. Miracle is something that's extraordinary. It's outside what people assume to be teva. It's normal for the sun to rise in the morning and to set at night. A miracle is where, when the time comes for the sun to set, and it doesn't set. A tzaddik, like Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was doing battle against Amalek, in this case of Vayihi Yodov Emuna, the Gemara says that one of the things that he accomplished was that he caused the sun to stay out longer than it normally would, to allow the Jews a chance to finish off the battle against Amalek. So Rabbi Nazal says that this is the concept of miracles, which are lemala mehateva, ki tfila lemala mehateva, because tfila, just as a miracle is something that's lemala mehateva, tfila is also lemala mehateva, ki hateva mechayev kain, because teva, the nature, would require that this person should be sick now, or should be poor, or should be in pain. V'atfilah mishane hateva. And the whole concept of tefillah is where we want to change what would be normal now. A person knows that it's normal for his illness, for his sickness, to last 5 days. He wants to shorten the amount of time that it lasts. He's mispalel. He's mispalel that it should go away. When should it go away? When it would normally go away? No. It should go away whenever Hashem wants. The fact that we are mispalel implies that we believe that Hashem has a pause button. Hashem has a stop button. And even if things are flowing a regular way, Hashem, with his rotzoin, can jump in at any moment in time and stop, interrupt the normal flow of things. So tefillah is lamala me'ateva. The whole concept of why we daven is because we believe that tefillah can override the teva, and so too a miracle is also something which is lamala me'ateva, chutz min ateva. Now, to just deviate for a second, the Arizal says that the word hateva is bigimatria Elokim. Elokim is Hashem's name for Midas Hadin, judgment, which means that when Hashem allows things to flow normally, what people call normal, that the sun rises in the morning, sets at night, that the ocean flows its regular path, that's a concept of Midas Hadin, Elokim. Why? Because Hashem is invisible. to such an extent that there are many people who misinterpret this teva, and they say this is proof that there's no Hashem. Proof is, you see things flowing so perfectly, there's obviously no intervention from any outside force. Whereas, when Hashem hits the stop button on teva, and comes in and makes a change, where it's obvious to everybody that this is not normal, that this is abnormal, this change of Hateva, this uprooting of the Midas Elikim, where Elikim is replaced with Yudke Vovke, Midas HaChesed. That's the whole chiddush of a miracle. Why do we make a brocha Shechianu on Chanukah or any time a miracle is done? What's the big deal? Was it any more difficult for Hashem to split the Red Sea, to make 12-layer cake out of the Red Sea, or to tell the Red Sea to flow its regular way? Was it any, in other words, what's the chiddush? For Hashem, as far as we understand, it's just as easy for Hashem to command the ocean to flow one way, or to command it to go upside down, or to go right to left, whatever it is. It's not any more difficult to Hashem. So what are we celebrating when we celebrate a miracle? What we're celebrating is the fact that Midas Elikim, which is what governs the Teva, which represents Kaviyochel Hashem being hidden, when Hashem comes out of hiding and strips away the cover and shows himself by jumping in and changing the Teva, that's the celebration. The celebration is that Midas HaChesed was Goyver over Midas HaDin. Another name for Midas HaDin is HaTeva, this concept of nature. So now Rabbein Azal says that Tefillah and Nisim are, so far we connected Emunah to Tefillah, now we connected Tefillah to Nisim. Nisim are L'malam and HaTeva, Tefillah is L'malam and HaTeva. Rabbein Azal says, V'zeh Dovar Neis. That's a concept of miracle, something that's Mishana the Teva. Vilozet, now, so we connected A to B, B to C. Now Rabbein Azal goes back and connects C to A. Rabbein Azal says, Vilozet, Sorich Emuna. And for miracles, which are performed generally through Tefillah, for miracles you need Emuna. You have to go back to number one. Sheyamin Sheyesh Mechadesh. In order for a miracle to take place, the person who wants the miracle to happen must believe that there is a mechadesh. Not that things are flowing already for thousands of years, but rather that every day is a new bria. Every minute is a new bria. And therefore, it's not as if Hashem is locked in to a flow. It's not as if there's an assembly line and things are going and you can't stop the assembly line. Baloney. Every moment, every second, Hashem is giving a new command to the world, telling it what to do. And it's just as easy for Hashem this second to say, flow this way, as to say, flow that way. It's just as easy for Hashem this second to say that I should remain as poor as I was a second ago, as it is for Hashem this second to issue a decree to make a statement that I should become a millionaire within 1 second. That requires that miracle, in order for that miracle to take place, it requires emunah on the part of the Yid, that kaviyochel there is a mechadesh, and Hashem has the power at will to change, to bring things new, to bring forth new things. Now Rabbein Azal says, V'ikr emuna, b'chinas tefila, b'chinas nisim, einoy ela beretz Yisrael. Now that we connected these three things, emuna, tefila, and nisim, now we're going to connect them to a fourth thing. All three of these, the main place that they take, again, that word ikor, there are miracles in Chutz Loretz. The miracle of Purim took place in Chutz Loretz. That's one of the reasons why there's no Shechianu said. So there are some miracles that take place in Chutz Loretz. Excuse me? No Hallel. I'm sorry, right. No Hallel, that's the point. No Hallel. Excuse me? That's one of the reasons that's given. That's one of the reasons it's given, because why Manishtana Purim from Chanukah, that Chanukah we do say Hallel? that Hanukkah we do say Hallel and Purim we don't. The reason is, one of the reasons given is because Purim took place in Chutz Laretz, and a miracle in Chutz Laretz is not that big. Because the main, as Rabbein Zal says here now, that the Iker Emuna, Bechinas Tfila, Bechinas Nisin, Einoi Elo Beretz Yisrael. The main concept of miracles, of faith, and of Tfila is only in Eretz Yisrael. Kemoi Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says clearly, Shchon Eretz Ure'ei Emuna. Live in the land and draw its faith. That in Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, wherever it says Eretz Stam in the Torah, it means Eretz Yisrael. That if a person is living in Eretz Yisrael, then he's connected to Emuna, which means connected to Tefillah, which means connected to Nisim, to miracles. Vishom Ikor Aliyas HaTefillos. Note how every word of Rabbeinu Zal's is so precise, so perfect. He doesn't say that tefillos don't go up from Chutz Laretz. He says that in Eretz Yisrael, that's where the Iker Aliyas HaTefillos is. The main Aliyas HaTefillah is only in Eretz Yisrael. Kemay Shekosov, as the Torah says by Yaakov Avinu, Vezeh Shar HaShamayim. When he saw the dream with the ladder, with the angels going up and down, he said, Ma Noiro HaMokim HaZeh, this place, the Mokim Mikdosh, under which was rolled up the entire Eretz Yisrael, under his head, in that stone that was under his head, Ein Zeh Kim Beis Alikim, Vezeh Shar HaShamayim. That Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdosh, that's the doorway to heaven. That's the place where tefillos are most readily accepted. Rabbeinu Zal says, now that you understand this, because of this reason, Kishepogam Avraham, Bamo Eda, when Avraham came out, when Hashem was foretelling to Avraham Avinu that his children and grandchildren were going to inherit Eretz Yisrael, and Avraham Avinu said the words, Bame Eda, how do I know? How do I know that's the opposite of faith? Faith, believing, is only in something that you don't know, that you don't understand fully. So when Avraham Avinu was poigim with these words, Bamoeda, upoze pogam birushas eretz, and in doing that, he was poigim in Bnei Yisrael, receiving Eretz Yisrael, shehi bechinas emuno, bechinas tefilo, this Eretz Yisrael, which is the symbol of emuno, the symbol of tefilo. As a result of that, Hoyo Golus Mitzrayim. That's what caused the Yidden to go down to Mitzrayim. If you're poigim in Emunah, in Tefillah, in Nisim, in Eretz Yisrael, the result is that you go to the opposite place. What's the opposite of Eretz Yisrael? The opposite of Eretz Yisrael is Mitzrayim. Period. Now Rabbeinu Zal explains, V'dafka Yaakov Uvonov Yordu Mitzrayim. Why is it that Yitzchak Avinu didn't go down to Mitzrayim? Why is it that the Golus was Bedavka, the Iker Golus was Bedavka Yaakov Uvonov? Rabbeinu Zal explains, Ki heim bechinas shneimosor nuschois hatfilo. Because the 12 Shvotim, the 12 tribes, represent the 12 different styles in Tfila. The Arizal talks about this, that each and every single Shevet has its own nusach ha-tefillah, its own style of tefillah, and each shevet's tefillah goes up via its entranceway in Shemayim. No two of them are the same. This is why the Arizal says, if we see today that people don't daven the exact same nusach, don't get nervous. It doesn't show that one is wrong and one is right. It's possible, it's conceivable that there are different nuschois ha-tefillah. The Arizal says that the nusach sfard is a nusach ha-koilel. In many ways, it's koilel other nuschois. In other words, it's safer to daven that nusach because it's more likely that you're covering many nuschois and you're covering the one that you're supposed to be davening. But if people daven a certain nusach that they were mekabel from their parents or certainly from their rabbi, then that's the one to stick by. That's the one to go by. So Rabbeinu Zal says, this is why Dafke, it was Yaakov Avinu and his sons who went down to Mitzrayim. V'hoiridoysam begolus. They were taken down to Golus, Yaakov Avinu and his sons, who represent the Nuschois HaTfila, that went down to Mitzrayim, that went into Golus. U'Mitzrayim hu hepech hanisim. Mitzrayim is the opposite of miracles. If Eretz Yisrael is miracles, Mitzrayim is the opposite. Where do we see it? Kemoy Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says, Umitzrayim nosim likrosoi. When the Jews were running out of Mitzrayim, it says the Egyptians were chasing them. The word nosim is spelled nun samach yud mem, which is very peculiar. Usually we would say rotzim likrosom. Because here it uses the word umitzrayim nosim likrosom. This word nosim, nun samach yud mem, is also the word nisim. Umitzrayim nisim likrosoi. Mitzrayim has miracles opposite it. Likras, opposite, kenegdoi. In other words, Mitzrayim is the opposite of miracles. Kemoshekosuv, as the posuk ve'ein shom mokem atfila. If Mitzrayim is not a place of miracles, then it's also not a place for tefila, because we learned earlier that miracles and tefila are the same thing. Kemoshekosuv, as the Torah says clearly, that when Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paroi, "I'll pray for you," note what he said. Vohoyo kitseisi esho'ir, Ephrois eskapai. When I leave the city, I'll stretch out my hands in tefillah. Why? Because in the city here, it's not a mokoim tefillah. It's a mokoim tuma. It's a place where you can't daven, where you shouldn't daven. Period. That's Mitzrayim. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, V'chol ha-golioys mechunim b'shem Mitzrayim. Each and every single one of the golioys that the Yidden went through, whether it's the golos Bovel, or the golos Poras Umodai, or the golos Edoim that we have today, each one of them is nicknamed Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is a nickname that applies to all the golioys. Why? Al shem shehem meitzirim liYisrael. Because of the fact that they imprison the Jews. This word meitzar means to be in a tight spot, to be confined, to be restricted. So we see that this word Mitzrayim, Golos Mitzrayim, is a nickname that's used for all the Golios. Ukeshe poigmim be'emuna, betfila, be'eretz Yisrael, hu yoyred l'golos. And when a person is poigim in emuna, which is synonymous with tfila, which is synonymous with Eretz Yisrael, what happens? He goes to Golos. He goes to Mitzrayim, which is the opposite of Nisim, which is the opposite of Tefillah, which is the opposite of Emunah.
And then if Harizah said that Sfarad is colored, then where did the Nusach Ari come from? If he said that Sfarad was...
Where did the Nusach Ari come from? The answer is that the Nusach Ari is basically Nusach Sfarad with a few minor changes. That's all it is. Because the Arizal davened basically what we davened today, Nusach Sfarad, with a few small items changed. In other words, his Nusach is 98 to 99% closer to Nusach Sfarad than it is to Nusach Ashkenaz, where it's much different. Okay. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, V'zeh shomru chazal, this is what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Ein Moshiach ben David bo, Elo ad shetichlo pruta menakis. The Gemara there is telling us all kinds of signs that you'll be able to see in order to know that Mashiach's coming is very imminent, is very close. The Gemara says one of those signs is when you see that people have no money at all. Ad shetichlo pruta menakis. People won't have a penny in their pockets. The inflation will be so high, things are going to cost so much money that people aren't going to be able to save anything at all. That's the pshat in that Gemara. Rabbeinu Zal is now going to give us another very interesting pshat way of learning that Gemara. Rabbeinu Zal says, this means, Hainu sheyichlu ho'apikrusim she'in lohem emuna benisim. This Gemara is referring to the fact that when those apikrusim, those atheists, people, those non-believers who do not believe in miracles, when they come to an end, that's when Mashiach is going to come. Why? Umechasim kol hanisim b'derech hateva. These atheists, or philosophers, or scientists, these types of people, some of them, have a nature of trying to cover up miracles b'derech hateva. They try to say, people are silly for believing in miracles. There's no such thing as a miracle. People don't realize that if you know the way the sun goes and the time that the Red Sea split, once every 74 billion and a half years, the stars line up a certain way in the sun where the sea splits. The Jews, just the timing happened to be perfect, that just when the Jews were going in was when the sea split, and just when the Egyptians were going in, that was when the stars turned left and the sea closed. shows that it had nothing to do with a miracle at all whatsoever. Or other many, many interpretations that they try to do. The Mabul, they say again, it wasn't a decree of Hashem. It was just like a certain kind of earthquake combined with this that caused the Mabul. They tried to misinterpret miracles to show how it wasn't really a miracle, but it was rather something that was Bederech HaTeva. It was part of the Teva.
How is Tehillat Butamek connected to heresy?
Wait, keep your shirt on. You wait, he's going to show in 1 minute. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki Iker HaNisim Beretz. He's going to explain, and he's going to come back to showing how it fits into that Gemara. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki Iker HaNisim Beretz Yisrael. We know that the main place, the main location for miracles is in Eretz Yisrael. Ki Eretz Yisrael Shoise Tchila. The Gemara says in Tainus that when Hashem sends down Shefa to the world, there's a line. Not everybody gets it at the same time. And Eretz Yisrael receives first. Ushtiyoso mehatohimois. And where does Eretz Yisrael receive its Shefa from? From the Tohimois, from the bowels of the earth, from the bottom of the earth. Rabbein Ezal says, Shehem loshoin vatehoim kol ho'ir. The word tohoim means the bottom of the earth. The word vatehoim means to be amazed, to be shocked. Vatehoim kol ho'ir, the whole city was shocked. That's something referring to a miracle. When people see something very strange, they're shocked. So Rabbein Ezal says that when the Gemara says that Eretz Yisrael is Shoise Tchila, and where is Eretz Yisrael Shoise from? From the Tohoim. It means that Eretz Yisrael draws its nourishment from miracles. Eretz Yisrael lives off miracles. The fact that people are able to live and survive in Eretz Yisrael, that's a miracle. Rabbi Nizal says, She'al dovor nisi temehin ho'ilam. Because when a miracle takes place, that's when people are amazed. So when the Pasuk uses this word, vatehoim, it means in amazement, it's referring to a miracle. That's what amazes people. When the Torah says, Eretz Yisrael shoise mehatohoim, it means Eretz Yisrael draws its nourishment from miracles. V'zeh tohoim el tohoim koire l'koil tzinoi recho. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says one tohoim to another tohoim calls out. Rabbi Nizal explains, Ki yesh nisim iloin. There are higher level miracles. Shehem bechinas tohoim ilo'o. That refers to the upper tohoim, the mayim elyoinim, which is discussed in the beginning of the Chumash. V'yesh nisim tatoim, and there are lower level miracles. Shehem bechinas tohoimo tato, which represents the lower tohoim. The pasuk says tohoim el tohoim koire, implying that there are two tohoims, an upper one and a lower one, corresponding to two levels of miracles, an upper level and a lower level. Umalach shekolul mikol hanisim, and there is an angel that's kolul from all of these miracles, the Nisim Eloim and the Nisim Tatoim, Mishnei HaTohoimois, he's kolul from these two Tohoims. He connects these two Tohoims. And the Gemara says about him in Tainus, Damyo Le'iglo, that the angel, the Gemara says in Tainus, Dav Chofeyom Ed Beis, Hai Ridyo, that there is a certain Malach whose name is Ridyo, and the Gemara says, Damyo he stands between the two Tohoims, the Gemara says, and he's Damyo Le'iglo. This angel looks like a shoyer. He takes on the appearance of an ox. An egel is like a baby shoyer. And the Gemara says that this angel is the one who controls the flow of Shefa from one Tohoim to the other Tohoim. So Rabbi Nizal says, note, the Gemara says over there, that the angel that connects these two Tohoims is Damyo Le'eglo. Eglo means a baby cow, and Eglo also, Shehainu Shehu Bechinas Igulim, that also refers to the concept of something circular. A circle is called an eagle also. Bechinas Emuna, which represents faith, Emuna. Kemay Shekosav, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ve'emunascha Sivivoisecho. Your faith surrounds you, encircles you. Emuna is compared to a circle because Emuna is something that has no beginning, no end. Believing, when I want to understand something, to understand something, you have to start with ABC, and then you learn words. You learn how to connect the A and the C and the E to make a certain word, and you learn how to connect other letters, and you build. You start from one place and you work your way up. When it comes to faith, faith is represented by a circle because of the fact that a circle represents something where there's no beginning, there's no end. You jump in, wherever you jump in, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to go back and explain that. Now the Gemara says that this angel that stands between these two times, Damiel Egla, he looks like an ox, Uprita Sivavose, and his lips are always moving. The lips of this angel are moving. Rabbeinu Zal says, Uprita Sivavose Shehu Bechinas Tfila. That's the concept of Tfila. First, we showed you that the angel was compared to an egla, and we said that that's the concept of emuna, an eagle, the emunas chasiv esecho. And the Gemara says, uprita sivavose, that this angel's lips move. Lips moving is a concept of tefillah. Just as in the shehu b'chinas tefillah, kamei shekosuv, Hashem sifosai tiftoch ufi yagiti losecho. Tefillah is the symbol where the lips have to move. The hu klolius hanisim, and this angel represents the klolius of all nisim. He represents the connection between this tohim ilo and tohim tato, the nisim ilo and nisim tatoim. And what's the connection? The connection is emuna and tefillah. When the Gemara describes this angel, the Gemara describes him two details. Looks like an ox and lips are moving. The looking like an ox represents emuna, this eagle, egel, eagle, the emunas chasiv oisecha. Lips moving represents tefillah. That emuna and tefillah are what make these two tohoims work. Tohoim is miloshin vatehoim, miracles. The nisim ilom and the nisim tatoim are connected, are tied into emuna and tefillah. Emuna and tefillah are what make all of these miracles happen. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, "Vezeh pirish ad shetichla pruta min akis." Now we go back to that other Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara said in Sanhedrin that Moshiach will only come when there will no longer be found a penny in the pocket. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ki yesh bnei odom hamechasim klolius hanisim." There are people who try to cover up and hide the whole concept of miracles. Haklulim b'malach deprita sivavose, which are all nichlal in this angel. The whole concept of miracles originates from this angel, whom the Gemara describes as prita sivavose. His lips move. The pruta refers to this movement of the lips, the prita sivavose. Mechasim b'derech hateva. How do they try to hide it? They try to cover it up by saying, no, it wasn't the miracle. This was really a natural phenomenon. That's a new word that they uncovered. Natural phenomenon. It's within the laws of nature. Ukishetich lezois, and when this will be brought to an end, when this philosophy, when this attitude of trying to cover up and minimize the miracles is eliminated, when this will be destroyed, v'tisrape emuna ba'olam, and faith will shine in the world, the emunah in the world will be elevated. Azai yovoi Moshiach. That's when Moshiach will come. Ki ikar hageula toli bozeh. Because the main item that can help Bnei Israel to come out of Golus is this. What is this? Emunah. Kemay shekosev, as the Pasuk says, Tovoi toshuri meiroi shamona. Hashem says that the Yidden will return to Eretz Yisrael singing Meirosh Amona, through a heightening of Emuna. So this is what the Gemara means when it says, Ein Moshiach ben David bo, at shetichle pruta minakis. Pruta refers to that angel whose lips are moving. That angel represents the whole symbol of miracles, of tefillah and Emuna. We said the Gemara calls an egel. At shetichle pruta minakis. Kis is miloshim kisli, a pocket is something that covers up. You don't want somebody to see where your wallet is, so you put it in your pocket to hide it. A kiss is also miloshim kisui. When the pruta will no longer be in the kiss, when the symbol of emuna and tefillah and miracles will no longer be covered up, but rather it'll be revealed to the world, people are going to come to recognize the miracles of Hashem. People are going to come to recognize the power of tefillah and the power of emunah. That's when Mashiach is going to come. Because the whole goal, what is Mashiach's main mission? To return us to Eretz Yisrael. What is Eretz Yisrael? The place of emunah, tefillah, miracles. The tikkun, how did we get kicked out? Through a shortage of emunah and tefillah. The tikkun will be when we are zecha meroish amunah, when we zecha to increase and elevate this emunah and tefillah. This is the opening statement of Rabbeinu Zal in this Torah, presenting, emphasizing the importance of these items and showing how perfectly these are connected, how these are actually one. Eretz Yisrael, tefillah, emunah, and nisim are all one. And Mashiach's coming is all dependent on that, on emunah and tefillah. Because Mashiach's coming, we know there's a machlokes in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel, I believe. Shmuel says that when Mashiach comes, there aren't going to be miracles. Things, there's going to be very little difference between what we see now versus what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. Whereas Rav paskins that when Mashiach comes, there's going to be only miracles. There's going to be billions of miracles. And we know that the Zohar HaKadosh and the Arizal and all the tzaddikim on that line all paskin in this case like Rav, that when Mashiach comes, there's definitely going to be miracles. The Zohar HaKadosh says that ready-made food and clothing is going to be growing on trees and other items like that, clear miracle items that we're going to see at that time when Mashiach comes. So if Mashiach's coming is going to be combined with all of these miracles, the key to bringing about these miracles is by being mesakim the emunah and the tefillah. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to tell us, emunah is a very dangerous thing. A person says, I believe. If we say that emunah means bedafka where you don't understand, then hold on a second, then every little yo-yo can get up and say, I believe in the wall. I believe in, person can say, I believe in me. Person can say, I believe that I'm the creator. How do we get this emunah on the track if dafke emunah means beloy das, without understanding? Then how do we differentiate between emunah that's real and emunah that's unreal? Rabbeinu Zal says, avol e efsher lovoy le emunah elo al yedei emes. It's impossible to get to emunah without emes, without truth. Kemuva b'zohar, as is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, the Zohar HaKadosh says, there's a pasuk in the Novi in Yeshaya where it says, v'hoyo tzedek ezer mosnov, ve'emuna ezer chalotzov. The pasuk says there that that there'll come a time when people will have tzedek, righteousness will be wrapped around them, and emuna and trustworthiness will be wrapped around them. So the Zohar HaKadosh asks, Hainu tzedek, Hainu emunah. What's the difference between these two? Tzedek means righteousness, means doing the right thing. And emunah over here also means a person that's ne'emon, trustworthy, person that does the right thing. What's the difference between them? The Amru Shom and the Zohar HaKadosh answers, emunah iskarias kadis chaber bo emes. That true, tzedek and emunah are sort of the same. The difference between them is that emunah is tzedek plus emes. Emunah is only, the term emunah could only be applied when there's emes first. When you have emes, then what you believe in is worth it. If a person says, I believe in shmo, I believe in something, that's not called emunah, that's called silliness. If a person is first looks with an ein ha-emes, with real honesty, like they're looking to find what's real and what's unreal. And it's only after having seriously given an honest definition to emes, then once a person finds the emes, they don't necessarily fully understand it. Let's say a person is searching for what's good in life, and they find the Torah. After looking, after reading all kinds of other books on different religions and studying different ways of life, person finds the Torah and it looks to them like this is more honest than all the others. Do we say that a person does not believe in the Torah until they get to understand it all? If a person's going to take that attitude, they're never going to have emunah. Because the person can live 120 years and not get to understand the Torah fully or properly. Elamai, the answer is, at which point am I permitted to start believing? The answer is, at the point that I come to the conclusion that this is emes, that's when I'm permitted to say that once this is emes, then even if I don't understand it completely, even if not every single aspect of it makes sense, I can attribute the shortage of making sense to me, that it's my chesaron hayedia that doesn't allow me to understand it fully. Whereas the more I learn, I'll understand it better and I'll be okay. But that's not going to lessen my emuna. My emuna begins from the moment that I've come to a conclusion that this appears to me to be emes. That's when I can start saying I'm willing to go with emuna. I'm willing to say that even what I don't understand completely, I'm going to follow. Same thing with tzaddikim. When a person takes a rabbi to themselves, at which point do you accept a rabbi? Once you've spent 50 years with him and he's taught you 500 books of knowledge and you understand everything he taught you, at that point you consider him your rabbi? Baloney, that's not true. The answer is, at which point does a person accept a person as their rabbi? Once they've spent some time with that person, not the minute you see him. Once you've spent a certain decent amount of time with a person, and you've heard a substantial amount of what he has to say, and it appears to you that what he's saying is the truth, it's the emes, from that point on, a person makes a decision, this is emes, then this is what I believe in. Believe in to the extent that even if this rabbi is going to tell me something now that I don't fully understand, I'm going to be willing to accept it on faith alone, knowing that hopefully sometime later, 5 years later, 10 years later, I'll learn as much as that rabbi. I'll be able to understand how he came to this conclusion. I'll be able to understand all the things that went into his making this decision. But the point is that that what precedes emuna has to be emes. That's what precedes emuna. Emes represents a light that's on such a high level. It represents literally, Rav Nosson Zal says in the Kutei Halachos, emes represents the highest kedusha possible. That's why the word emes is constructed from an aleph, a mem, and a tuf. Aleph is the beginning, tuf is the end, mem is the middle. To show that emes represents a light that's koilel everything. So that even though I don't fully understand, if this appears, if I am an honest person, and if I'm honest with myself, if I don't fool myself, when I look at somebody else, and it looks to me that this person is really emes, that's enough. That's enough to go on where I can start the meter on emuna. I can start dealing with that person, give that person a certain ne'emonus, until proven otherwise. We know, chas v'shalom, there are cases where a person misjudges. A person picks a certain rabbi or a certain religion, lahavdil, something like that, and a person believes up until a certain point it appears to them that this is true, and then they discover that it wasn't true. Then they know they have to realign, they have to redirect their faith to a different place. They know that obviously their midas ha-emes was lacking, and therefore this person looked to them at a certain point that it was emes when it really wasn't. And such a thing is possible. There definitely are different levels in emes. Or you tell a child, knows, is this good, this chocolate bar? Yes, it's good. How good is it? Very good. Is it all good? Yes, 100%, it's all good. And then the child grows up 10 years later, and he learns different things, and he learns that this item which he thought was all good is not all good. It tastes good, it even smells good, but there are certain bad side effects that could come from it. It could make holes in your teeth. It could do other things that are going to cause you pain and suffering. And you're going to learn to judge that every single item in the world just about has good and bad to it. And you have to be able to figure out to take the good, to separate the good from the bad, or to try to minimize the bad as best as you can. So a child's madrega of emes is obviously, in other words, what he considers to be true or fact is not necessarily the same as somebody who's on a higher level, higher madrega.
As you're describing right now, a person's level of emes is constantly changing.
Definitely.
But wouldn't it be also, in being honest, to say that a person should always leave themselves open to the degree that if they know that their level of understanding and their level of emes is changing, likewise should follow their level of emuna? And it should also be...
A 1,000,000,000% true. And that's why the Pasuk says, Chadoshim labekorim, rabo emunasecho. that every single morning there's a hischatshus, a brand new beginning in the emunah. Now, today, the sun comes up, there's new light in the world, there's new emes in the world, there has to be new emunah. I can't rely today on my yesterday's emunah. Not regarding the Torah, not regarding tzaddikim, I have to look for new emunah, brand new, 100%.
But how does that fit in what you said previously, that a person at a certain level has to make commitments?
Right.
And how does that fit in with a person's level of emes constantly rising, and consequently the conclusions you might have come to yesterday based on that emes and the emuna that followed today, a new emuna might have to be supplanted?
The answer is, hopefully, if the rabbi that the person found was a true rabbi, then every single day he's going to spend with that rabbi, his emes is going to grow. He's going to see the truth. What he thought the greatness of that rabbi was on Monday comes to Thursday, Friday, after 3-4 more days, the emes is going to shine brighter for him, and his emunah in him will shine brighter. And definitely leaving a door open for a discovery at some point in time, chas v'shalom, rachmona litzlan, that the rabbi was lacking an emes or tricked him at a certain point in time, chas v'shalom. In which case, he has to know that in this, we learned in Torah Aleph and Likut Imran, that the Satan doesn't necessarily come dressed in black. The Satan sometimes could present himself as a very religious person, looking like a rabbi, a Talmud Chacham, and it could be a Chacham Shed Yehudoi. We know that there were rabbis who directed Jews, Chas V'Shalom, against the Torah, Rachmon Elson, or other things like that. So a person definitely has to be honest with himself and has to be constantly checking himself in his Midas Emes. If he's not fooling himself, if his connection to his rabbi is sincere, is it for the right purposes? There are people, there are cases that have been documented in history where people came to a rabbi with the wrong motives. They were coming looking for kavod. Because they felt their reason for joining a certain rabbi or a certain group was because, as an independent, he couldn't really get recognition. If he'd stay alone at home, who's going to bow down to him, or who's going to praise him, or who's going to give him recognition? But he felt that if he would join a group, and in that group he would pull the right strings, he would do whatever was necessary, whether it be bowing down to the rabbi, or in other words, to elevate himself and to gain certain recognition within that group, he felt that he would get to this kavod. So there, where his motive was insincere, it was against the emes, because the emes is the Torah, and the Torah says you're not supposed to look for kavod. So therefore, if this person is looking for kavod, he's anti-emes, and therefore his anti-emes could lead him to a rabbi who is also anti-emes, who is also not plugged in properly to the Torah, and thereby chas v'shalom a person could mess himself up. There's a lot to say about this. Let's first cover the next chapter, the next paragraph. Is going to discuss on this issue. How do we apply this emuna and emes to tzaddikim?
Where does tzedek come into the picture?
It doesn't. It was just used, that pasuk was brought in to show what the definition of emuna is. That the Zohar HaKadosh says that there's a pasuk that mentions tzedek and emuna, and it would seem at first glance that those two are the same. Why does the pasuk mention both? They're both the same thing. And the Zohar HaKadosh makes a clear distinction that emuna is kadis chaber bo emes. That emuna is what tzedek is plus emes. So it's something more. And Rabbeinu Zal here is emphasizing this point that emuna alone doesn't exist. If a person is going to wake up one morning and say, I believe in this, without first having looked at it very well to see, is this emes, then he's a baby, he's a fool, he's immature. Because his emuna, there's a pasuk that says, Pesi yamin l'chol dover. A fool believes in everything. Who's not a fool? A person who doesn't believe until he understands. That's not emuna, that's baloney. It can't be that either. So where do you fix it? The answer is Rav Nosson Zal says on Likutei Halachos, the key word here is emes. That a pesi is yamin l'chol davar, whether it's emes or not. A philosopher, a thinker, believes in nothing. Because he says, I don't need belief. Whatever I understand, I'll accept. Whatever I don't understand, I won't accept. And a Jew, a tzaddik, says that first I'll bring myself to emes, and then with my emes, I will seek out where to apply my emuna. Emuna is a definite must for a Jew. However, I'm not going to place my emuna in anything until I know that that's emes. Next. Now Rabbi Nizal says, V'i efsher lovoi lo emes, elo al yidei hiskarvus le tzadikim. It's impossible for a yid to get to emes without coming close to tzadikim, v'yelech b'derech atzosom, and to follow their advice, to follow the advice of tzadikim. It's only by coming close to tzadikim and following their advice that you will get to emes. V'yidei shemekabel mehem atzosom, and through a Jew being zeche to receive advice from tzadikim, nechkak boy emes. There is carved out in that Jew emes, truth. K'moy shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, hein emes chofatzto, kishe'ato chofetz be'emetz, if you want emes, betuchois uvesosum chochmo toidieni. Kiho etzois shemekabel mehem, Rabbi Nizal explains now, betuchois uvesosum chochmo toidieni. Seek out chochmo from the tzadikim. We'll see in a minute how this fits in. Kiho etzois shemekabel mehem hu bechinas nisuin vizivug. When a Jew is zeche to receive advice from a tzadik, that represents that you married that tzaddik. It's actually a concept of nisuin and zivug. Ukishemekablim etzos merishoim, and when a person receives advice from a rosho, hu bechinas nisuin beklipa. It's a concept of getting married to the soton chas v'shalom, marriage to klipa, to tuma. Where do we see it? Where do we see the term marriage being applied to receiving advice? As the Torah says, when Chava was given advice by the Nochosh advised her to eat from the Eitz Hadas. What's the wording in the Pasuk? Hanochosh hishiani. The snake married me. Loshen nisuin. A concept of nisuin. The Gemara says, hitil bo zuhamo, that the snake injected Chava with a certain filth. Just as when a husband marries a wife, he injects into her, so too, lahavdil, this concept of a tzaddik giving advice, he's injecting this package of seichel into the person. And if the person receives the advice from the tzaddik and accepts it, that's a concept of a marriage. The person is the kala, the tzaddik is the choson, and the person is, there's a connection that's made. Rabbi Nizal says, Hanochosh Shishiani Losh Nisuin, Eitzois Hanochosh Shekiblo Hu Bechinas Nisuin. This advice from the snake that Chava received is a concept of marriage. Vayidei Nisuin Hitilbo Zuamo. And through this marriage, the snake injected into Chava this filth. Upe Maimad Har Sinai Posko Zuamoson. And the Gemara says, when did this stop? It came to an end when the Yidden stood at Har Sinai. Why? Kishom kiblu taryag itin dikdusha. Because the Zohar HaKadosh says it was at Har Sinai that the Yidden received 613 advices. The Zohar HaKadosh calls the mitzvois itin, etzois. That each mitzvah in the Torah is a piece of advice. How you should deal, how you should act, how you should conduct your life. And what does the Gemara say took place at Har Sinai? A wedding. It was a wedding to the Kiddusha. Now Rabbi Nizal explains, why is advice compared to marriage? Because the Gemara says in Brochus, where does advice originate from? From the kloyos, from the kidneys. The kidneys are where advice originates from. Ukloyos hem klei hoylodo. And the kidneys also play a part in bringing children into the world. They are mevashel vezera, the Gemara says. So we see the kloyos, which is the mokar for Eitzah, is also the mokar for hoylodo. there's a connection between marriage, the purpose of marriage being to bring children into the world, and which is Nisuin, and also Eitzos, which comes from this place, the Gemara says, from the Kloyos. Klei HaZera, they are the Kelim of the Zera. Ukloyos heim Klei HaYolado, Klei HaZera. Nimtza, we see from this, Kishemekablim Eitzo Me'odom, that when a person accepts advice from a person, Ki'ilu Mekablim Imenu Zera, it's as if that person were receiving Zera from that person. V'hakoyl Fi'odom, and it all depends on what type of a person you're receiving the advice from. Im Rosho Oy Tzadik. U'bishvil Zer, Rabbi Nezal says, this is why you'll find an interesting thing. HaTorah Matish Koyach. The Gemara says that learning Torah weakens you, it drains your strength. V'nikras Tushio. One of the nicknames of the Torah in Mishle is Tushio. Kihem Taryag Itin, because there are 613 pieces of advice. Kamashikosuv Li Eitzo Visushio. The Pasuk says in Mishle that in me, in the Torah, is found advice and Tushio. And the Gemara says Tushio is Miloshin Shemateshes Koyche Shelodom. That the study of Torah, person who sits and study Torah and doesn't do exercise, doesn't play ball, doesn't do those things, it weakens the person. And we just said that the concept of receiving Torah is a concept of receiving advice. It's like marriage. It's like the act of marriage. There also, the Gemara uses the same wording, that it's something that weakens the person. So we see again a connection between the study of Torah, this concept of receiving advice, being identical to the concept of marriage. All the same effects originates from the same place. Advice comes from the Kloyos, just like the Zera originates there. And so too the Mateshes Koychoi, just like Zivug is Matesh Koyach. Rabbi Nezal says now, Va'atzas Hatzadik Hu Kuloi Zera Emes. And advice that comes from Tzadikim, that's called a Zera Shel Emes, a seed of truth. V'zeh pirush, this is what the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, V'onoichi netaticho shorek, b'chinas ha-ge'ula. The Pasuk says there, Hashem says, I have planted you as a savior for the Yidden. K'moy shekosuv, ashreik olohem v'akabtzeim. I will gather the Yidden together. This refers to the ge'ula. V'aydei ma'a, V'onoichi netaticho shorek, I will bring forth the goyel for Bnei Yisrael. How? Ayde kuloi zera emes. The Pasuk says over there, Vonechin atatichos soirek, kuloi zera emes. That this geula will come about through this zera emes. Which means, Ayde atta atzas hatzadikim, tovoila emes. Through the advice of tzadikim, a person gets to this emes. Vayde ze nikras emuna kadischaber bo emes. And that's how a person gets to emuna. When a person gets attached to emes properly, then he can go on to emuna. Vayde ze tovoy hageula. And that's what will bring about the geula, as we learned earlier, meroish amuna, through a heightening of emuna. Ki hu mekabel tipe hasechel shel atzadik al yidei etzo shemekabel mimenu. When a person, when a Jew receives advice from a tzaddik, you're actually receiving the droplets from his brain. Just as the zera, the Gemara says, originates in these tipe hamoyach. V'zeh hein emes chofatzto. The Pasuk says, if you want truth, betuchois. Tuchois is a nickname for kloyos, for the kidneys. Betuchois. Bekloyos chokhmo toidieni. Seek out the chokhmo that comes from the tuchos, from the kloyos, the kidneys, which means which type of chokhmo? Bedafka, advice. She'ezke lekabel tipe hamoyach, tipe hasechel, that I should be zeche to receive the droplets of the brain, these droplets of wisdom, al yidei etzo she'akabel mehem, through the advice that I'll receive from the tzadikim. The oz eskele emes, and then I'll be zeichet to truth. Ki tipe hasechel nikra kuloi zera emes, because it's these droplets of wisdom that a person receives from a tzaddik. When a person receives advice from a tzaddik, those droplets of wisdom represent this zera emes, this seed of truth, which the tzaddik shines into the person. So in this paragraph, Rabbi Nizal stressed, we learned earlier that the ge'ula comes about through emunah, and emunah is synonymous with nisim, tefillah, Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Nizal says now, and then we learned earlier that emunah, you can't have emunah without emes. And Rabbi Nizal shows us now that when does a person receive emes? When a person comes close to a tzaddik and hears his advice and accepts it, that's where the person is actually receiving zera shel emes. That's the wording in the pasuk. Hein emes chofatzta betuchos ube... What was the pasuk? Betuchos ube sosum chochma tedieni. Note this sosum referring again to the sinyan of zivug, this tznius, this advice. The pasuk says chamukei yirechayich, that the secrets of Torah, the most important parts of Torah, are bedafka the hidden part, the seidos, these eitzos that the tzaddikim give to their followers, that represents this nisuin dikdusha, where this emes is given over, where this power of truth is given over. That's how a person receives the mid of emes, through which they can come to emunah, to tefillah, to nisim, to Eretz Yisrael, to ge'ula.